title of my sermon. As you can see, it's called the Mara Complex. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Ruth and just keep your finger there in the first chapter. We'll get to that. I'm going to just kind of give you some backstory before we get to that scripture of who we're talking about and what's going on. But so this story, there's a couple of main characters involved here. First, we're going to talk about Naomi. She is considered Ruth's mother-in-law because Ruth will be married to one of her sons. Then we'll talk about Elimelech. That was Naomi's husband, which would be Ruth's father-in-law. Also, there's Orpah, one of the ladies that married one of Naomi's sons. And then we have Ruth, one of the other ladies who the book is named after, married to the other son. Now, they lived in Bethlehem, as you can see, and a great town, a God-loving place, a place where the worship of God was encouraged. And Elimelech was a hard-working man, like a lot of you fathers out there was. He did what he had to do to provide for his family. Now, Naomi and Elimelech were married and had two sons, as I talked about earlier. And Naomi was a lady that everyone in town liked and knew. She would be walking down the street and everyone would be waving from their shops. Hey, Naomi, hey, Naomi. They knew her. They loved her. I'm sure her boys probably graduated from the public school system back then. They were liked by everyone, too. I mean, people, you know, would wave at them. So they were heavily involved there in Bethlehem. My Bible tells me, though, that one day a famine hit the land. That means it didn't rain. You understand that. And so because it didn't rain, they couldn't grow any crops. Food was very limited, so Elimelech did what any good father, what any good husband would do to provide for his family. He went to where he had to go for his family to survive, and that was a place called Moab. As you can see the pink on the bottom there, that's where it is. Now, Moab was nothing like Bethlehem. In fact, it was the exact opposite. People there hated God and hated anyone who had anything to do with God. So being from Bethlehem, that was already a strike against them, probably strikes 2 and 3 already, just because they are going there. So because life wasn't fair, Elimelech was taken from his place of security and put in a place of hostility. Not long after Elimelech went there, Naomi and her sons went to go join him and try to go on with their life. But my Bible tells me this, that soon after they get there, Elimelech dies. But all is not lost because, remember, they had two sons that could take care of the family, take care of mama. And the two sons ended up getting married, as we talked about earlier. Orpah and Ruth married those young ladies. And the Bible tells me this also, though, that shortly after they got married, both of the boys died. So now we have three widows living in a place that had nothing to do with God, that hated God, and they were all by themselves. So Naomi was beside herself. She didn't know what to do. She did a lot of thinking, and she decided, you know what, I'm just going to let these ladies go back home. Go back to their families. So she tells the girls, come here, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to go back home because I can't take care of you anymore. Go back home to your families. They can take better care of you. So the Bible says that she cried and hugged Orpah and kissed her goodbye and sent her on her way. Now she was about to do the same thing to Ruth, but Ruth, something a little different happens from what the Bible says. Ruth says this to her, clung on to her and says, hey, Naomi, if you lay your head in the reeds, I will lay my head there too. If you lay your head on the rocks, I will lay my head on the rocks. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. So Naomi returns with Ruth back to Bethlehem. And that's where we're going to pick up Ruth chapter 1. We're going to kind of read it off the big screen with you. It says this. Verse 19, so the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said this, is this Naomi? She said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. The Bible tells me this, we just read it there, that the townspeople didn't recognize her. Remember, she was one that everyone loved. Everyone knew. They would wave at her, but no one would recognize her. Her friends and family didn't know it was her. Their response, could this be Naomi? And she responds by saying, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Lord has made my life bitter. And you've read the stories of the Israelites drinking the Mara waters when they were in the desert. Mara means bitter. Nasty tasting bitter. Names mean something. Naomi meant pleasant. Frank means the greatest ball player of all time. They all mean something. She was saying this, don't call me Naomi. Don't call me Pleasant anymore, because I'm not that pleasant lady. Call me Mara. Call me Bitter, for the Lord has dealt harshly with me. Think about it. No one could recognize her. I would hope that if I ever left Wichita for a time, a couple years or whatever it may be, even maybe 5 to 10 years, that I could come back to FCC here and that someone would recognize me. Oh, hey, yeah, that was old Pastor Frank back in the day. Or go around my old neighborhood and someone would hope they would know, hey, there's Frank. Or even go back to Valley Center because I spent a lot of time there growing up back in the day. That someone would think, hey, yeah, there's Frank. How you doing? But the Bible tells me that no one recognized Naomi. Let me tell you why. Because when you're hurting on the inside and you just let it sit there, it will change the way you look on the outside. When you're hurting on the inside so bad and you just let it sit there, it will change the way you look on the outside. It changed her appearance. It happened to Naomi right here. It literally changes the way you look. Scientists, doctors, the medical community will tell you that there are people who went to an early grave, not because of a drive-by shooting, not because of cancer, but because someone had wronged them in the past and they let it sit there and it festered and it grew. They didn't let go and let God. They didn't leave it at the altar. They didn't let God take it. They left it on the inside. And it literally robbed the life from them. And they died a bitter and unhappy person. Let me tell you a story. When I was younger, bam, Mark, that's for you, because, yeah, I had a lot of fro back then, too. When I was younger, I stayed at a daycare. It was called Happy Days. Here's a picture of it. Drove by there the other day. It was on Market Street. Oh, great, great times back then. There was a lady there who ran that place called Miss Sarah. Now, Miss Sarah, she loved Jesus with all her heart. In fact, every time something good would happen to Miss Sarah or, you know, she wanted to testify, she would do this number, raise up her left hand and say, glory, and then move back just like that. Glory. Great. But as I said, she loved the Lord with all her heart. She was the first lady to introduce me to prayer and, you know, show me how, you know, what it was like to be like Jesus. And so I really appreciated that. As I got older in life. But there was something that bugged me about Miss Sarah. Every day at 11 o'clock, she would sit us down and we would watch Bob Barker in The Price is Right. 11 o'clock every stinking day. Yeah, save it. You know, in all reality, that didn't really bother me. But as she would sit down, she would begin also to do her hobby. She loved to do puzzles, but I'm not talking about those rinky-dink puzzles, 25 to 75 pieces. She would do those 3,000-piece puzzles. You know, anyone else like to do puzzles out here? Wow, okay, well, this sermon's probably not going to be good for you. Like I said, she would sit us all down, and during a break, a commercial break sometimes, she would go in there and proceed to throw in, this is my problem right here, she would go in, proceed in the kitchen to go in, throw in some frozen chicken pot pies in the oven. Now, the problem I have with these chicken pot pies were because they were those $3, $4 kind. Listen, they were bad. Every stinking day, for a long time, that was my lunch. As you can see, I'm still a little beer. I'm a Mara when it comes to this. One day I had enough. But before I tell you what I did, let me explain how she would do her puzzles. On Monday, she would open this puzzle box and she would dump it all out on probably a card table, and she would begin to flip all the pieces over, and she'd begin to do the edge pieces. And that was always on a Monday. And once she did that, great, Tuesday through Friday, she would begin to work on the inside of that puzzle. And usually by Friday, no matter how long, usually by Friday, though, because she would do it after we were left, she would usually be done. And when she was done with that, she would take that puzzle and put some glue on the back of it and then snap it down on a piece of cardboard, and she would hang it in her house because she was proud. That was her thing, and she loved it. Well, as I said, though, I was bitter. chicken pot pies for a long time. So I needed to do something. Something popped in my head one day, and I said, you know what? I need to get this lady back because this is killing me. I might die an early age. So I thought, I need to hit her right where it counts. I have to go after her puzzles. Now, before you start thinking I'm the spawn of the devil, let me tell you, I didn't go over and mess up all those puzzle pieces because that would be too easy. I had a much better idea, a much better game plan. I always waited till Friday to do it. As soon as she would go into the kitchen, because you know you always had that commercial break before the showcase showdown, she would get up, remove those chicken pot pies, and that's when I got up. Those kids, they were on my side because they hated that stuff too, those other 9 kids that were there in this daycare. Walked over to the puzzle, grabbed about 3 pieces and put them in my pocket. Miss Sarah had an older house, and so she had these vents, kind of like this church, on the floor. I'm going to toss these puzzle pieces in those vents. She would never know. Then I ran back, sat down with the kids, and we just chuckled and laughed. She came back, gave us those nasty chicken pot pies. She began to finish her puzzle as she watched the showcase showdown also. Of course, you get to the end of the puzzle, and she's like, oh my goodness, I'm missing some pieces. So that first time around, I'll never forget her. I mean, it's engraved in my head. That look, it's like she just lost her best friend. I mean, she lost those puzzle pieces, so she's looking everywhere. Had us stand up, you know, looking to see if we were sitting on it or something like that, or, you know, push the couches, you know, looked everywhere. She could not find those pieces. So what did she do? She messed up that puzzle, put it back in the box, found her Walmart sack, put all 10 of us in the Clark W. Griswold station wagon, and we went to Walmart, and she marched us up in there to customer service, and she said, the sign says satisfaction guaranteed, and I'm not satisfied because I'm missing 3 pieces from this puzzle. So the lady, I'm sure, at the counter, all right, chuckled, said, hey, we'll give you a new piece, or a new puzzle. So she gave her a new puzzle. Well, it didn't just happen once. I tell you, I was there for a year, year and a half. I did it every week that I could. So I'm sure Miss Sarah thought it was just a commonplace thing to get shortchanged a few puzzle pieces. Now, her favorite puzzle, I'll never forget, was this beautiful-looking puzzle. It was huge. It had this, had all these hills, had a sunset in the background. It was a huge plantation, had these huge marble pillars in the front, beautiful white horses everywhere. And right on the side of this plantation, this huge old beautiful white horse stood, had no head, thanks to me. That's right. All because of me, but she still hung it up. It would have been the great, perfect puzzle. Later on, as I got older in life, I realized, you know, I did this lady some harm, probably. Probably messed her up. So I decided to go hunt her down. And she had gone to be with Jesus, but I found some family members and kind of introduced myself. And they said, oh, yeah, we heard of you. And she goes, hey, you know, we got a couple of puzzles left over from her house. And so if you want one, you can take one. Now, this was one of the few ones that I didn't get a hold of, as you could tell, because it's complete. So it was a rarity to have. But they gave it to me to take home to remember Miss Sarah. And so it was a great thing. But I did apologize and hope that they could forgive me. And like I said, I know Miss Sarah went to go be with Jesus. And I'm sure one of the first things she said to Jesus when she got to heaven was, why are there missing puzzle pieces in every puzzle ever bought? I'm sure Jesus probably smiled, put his hand around her, and said, let me show you around, sister. It's okay. Let me show you around. And so, good times. But I say all that to tell you that story that I believe in this room this morning that there are those here that have had a piece of their heart stolen. Maybe through death. Maybe through divorce. Maybe someone has wronged you. Someone's wronged you in the church. It happens. Whatever the situation is, you're hurting, and it's affecting you. It's eating you up with hate, bitterness, jealousy, anger, and it's literally robbing the life from you. Can I dare say that you're a Mara? God has so much more for you. And before you think your life is over, that there is no hope, I serve a God who could take the Maras, and turn them back into Naomi's. Make you anew. Make you fresh. All again. I don't know how old Naomi was back when all this happened. She could have been a teenager. She could have been a college-age student. She could have been older. But whatever the age, I believe there are those in this room this morning as I prepare this message that you're missing a piece of your heart. And God doesn't want you to stay that way. He loves you way too much for you to hit that early grave because of bitterness, anger, hurt. Today, I believe the hand of God can go where the hand of man can't. And He can make things right in your life. You just have to let Him do it. You might have every right in the world to hold on to hurt, bitterness, and anger. You might think it's all justified, but it'll eat you up. Will you let it go this morning? You can leave a different person from this place, people. You may not think you deserve another chance. You may believe that you're too deep into unforgiveness. Done it for so long. Pastor Frank, you don't understand. I've been bitter for 75 years. It takes 75 years to do that. God takes that long just to make it right. We serve the God of the second chance. Or if you're like me, the unlimited chances. Because I'm always messing up. But I know where to go when I mess up. I know who to turn to. Today is no different. God wants to touch you. He wants to turn you back into a Naomi. This morning, as we have the helpers come down for communion, we want to make sure that we are right and that we're ready to receive communion. As I said, He can make you whole again. He can fill that emptiness. Let's pray and prepare ourselves as we receive His body and blood. Dear Lord, I thank You. I praise You for all that You're going to do in this place. And I believe this message is for someone in this room, maybe multiple people. Holy Spirit, fall. If there's stuff in our lives, Lord, will You reveal it to us? If there's that hurt, that bitterness, no matter how long it's been there, bring it to the surface so we can take care of it this morning. So we can leave changed, delivered, healed, ready to minister to someone out there in this world. Prepare us, Lord, as we partake in Your body and blood. We ask all this in Your name. Amen. God loves you way too much to have you remain a Mara. We love you. That's, as I shared in the first service, that's why I love the body of Christ. It's so big, and I'm sure that someone has been where you're at right now. Someone has done what you have done, and they've come back. They've come out of it on the good side. That's why we're here. If you're struggling this morning, maybe you have hurt, bitterness in your life. Trust me, it's hard to deal with alone. But we're here for you. We want to pray for you. We're not going to make it a big thing. But there'll be those of us up here in the front. You could pull us aside and we want to pray for you. And believe God to turn you back into that pleasant person. Amen? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank You. We praise You for this morning. Lord, and I know, Father, that You're taking Maras and You're going to transform them back into Naomis, back into those pleasant people. I pray, God, that You will give us the strength when tough times come to find a brother or sister, to have them pray with us, to encourage us, to keep us accountable. Be with us right now, Lord. I pray as we leave this place that we leave different, not the same, different for a world that's hurting. For a world that's full of Maras. Give us the time. Give us the words to say to those people. and let them know there's a God that loves them and that can help change them. Be with us now, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. We ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. You are dismissed. Have a great Sunday.